You are Locked On Raiders, your daily Oakland Raiders podcast. Just part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome back to another edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. It is Monday, March the 4th, 2019, and again, back at it, a start of a new week, and the Combine is just about over. And before we get into any kind of conversation, I want to apologize for not having a Friday show, but a lot of things going on at the radio station and a lot of moving and shaking parts, and I just wasn't able to knock an episode out, so I apologize for that. But I figured it'd be okay since Thursday's episode was like an hour long, and we all know that's probably like double the time that an episode is actually supposed to be. Again, let's remember, it's supposed to be 23 to 28 minutes, and it ain't been nowhere near 23 to 28 minutes in a very long time. So I apologize for having no Friday edition, but I'm assuming that you were okay because Thursday's edition was really, really long. Plus, you had the combine and everything to watch over the weekend, so there's a lot of good football stuff to take in. And, of course, the Raiders were front and center with that. So, again, since the last time we had a show, everyone but the defensive backs have gone through drills at the combine. And depending on what time you're listening to this on Monday, maybe the defensive backs are done as well. So on today's episode, what I want to do, I want to get some calls off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. Not all of them. Still got a lot of calls like I'm trying to cipher through and try to get a lot of them onto the show. But I got that coming up in segment number three. I probably got five or six good calls that I'm going to bring to you having to do with the combine, having to do with free agency, having to do with stuff that we were talking about last week, like Derek Carr and Michael Crabtree and John Ross, all that stuff. That's going to be in segment number three. In segment number two, I'm going to talk about some rumors coming out of the combine, specifically Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, how they could affect what the Raiders are doing in the draft. Even Derek Carr being shopped, is that legit? Is it not legit? All that conversation is going to come up in segment number two. Again, rumors basically that are rolling out of the combine. And again, I told you before the combine started, then I guaranteed coming out of the combine, there'd be a lot of rumors, a lot of conversation about people that the Raiders are going hot and heavy after, whether they're draftees or they're guys that are in the league already. And well, sure enough, that is the case. So we'll have that to talk about in segment number two. So segment number three, calls from that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. Segment number two, rumors coming out of the combine. Now, here in segment number one, I kind of want to give you my reaction to what I saw from the combine. And I'll tell you right now, Raider Nation, I had a lot of work I had to do on Friday. Right after my radio show, I had to get in the car and drive out to Sam Houston State, which is in Huntsville, Texas. There's a big prison right there next to it. And that's like a two and a half hour drive from where I'm actually at, where the radio station is at. And I had to do a high school playoff game. I had to do color commentary for a high school playoff game. And that was great. So that was my Friday, so I had to drive out there, boom, do the game, drive back to town, drive back home and everything. So my Friday was busy as all get out. But Saturday and Sunday, let me tell you, Raider Nation, I did nothing. I sat on the couch for two straight days and watched the combine. And then after the combine, I watched like basketball and all that stuff. But for the most part, it was all combine for two straight days, and it was glorious. Not having anything to do over the weekend was awesome. So I just soaked in the combine. So I got a lot of news and notes coming out of the combine, a lot of things that I took away from it that I found very interesting. And obviously, something that happened on Thursday that I didn't get to talk about on Friday was the fact that Kyler Murray measured in at 5'10 and 1/8, 207 pounds. His hands are over 9 inches, very much the size. And now everything is good. Everyone feels like, hey, yeah, he fits the bill. He's as tall as he needs to be. He's as heavy as he needs to be. Even though, let's be honest about the situation, he will not play at 207 pounds. There's a reason why he did no drills at the combine. That's because of that weight. He's never done anything at 207 pounds, and he wasn't going to do it on the biggest stage there. And I don't blame him. And honestly, if you follow me on Twitter, you already know what I said. When his numbers came out, as far as measurements came out, I said Kyler Murray already won. What he needs to do is do the interviews with the teams that want to do interviews with them and then bounce. He had nothing else to prove. Now, the guy in me that likes to see everyone compete, I would love to have seen him just go ahead and out there and compete. Go out there and throw. Go out there and run. Do everything that you do. But He honestly did not have to because he already won just by coming in at the size he did, 5'10 and 1/8 and then 207 pounds. That's all I needed to see. Raider Nation, I am 100% sure he is going to go number one overall. I think my heart tells me he's going to go number one overall to the Cardinals. But if he does not go number one overall to the Cardinals, he will go number one to a team that trades up for him. But in my heart, in my gut, and we all know that that's what I go by, he will go number one. What that means for the Raiders, why I go on this long spiel to talk about that, that means there will be an absolute defensive stud sitting there at number four waiting for the Raiders if, in fact, they choose to pick at number four overall, which, again, I do believe that there's no reason for them to trade up. They may trade back in the draft to collect a couple more picks, but at some point, you got to make the pick. At some point, you have to pull the trigger on a pick and get some players. If they sit there at number four, if Kyler Murray goes number one, let's say the Cardinals take him at number one, which I believe they're going to do, that means Nick Bosa is still on the board. Quinnen Williams is still on the board. Josh Allen is still on the board. Devin White's still on the board. That's four studs and only three places to go. You know what I'm saying? Like, they can't all be gone when the Raiders pick at number four. Now, I think Nick Bosa goes number two to San Francisco, and I think Quinnen Williams will probably go number three to the Jets. If they all stay in line, if they don't, you know, get traded out. And look, I can see the Jets trading out as well. I can see them trading back and a team jumping up to number three and maybe grabbing Dwayne Haskins. If that's the case, then there's a couple defensive studs right there. Look, there's a lot of defensive players in this draft, but I'm talking defensive studs, like difference makers day one. So if that's the case, if Kyler Murray goes number one to the Cardinals, Nick Bosa goes number two to 49ers, Quinnen Williams goes number three to the Jets, then sitting at number four, if it's me, I'm looking at Josh Allen or Devin White. And I told you last week, Devin White's my guy, and then Josh Allen. And I know a lot of folks are going to say, but Josh Allen could get after the quarterback. He's that edge rusher. He's something like Khalil Mack. Not saying he's Khalil Mack, but he's something like him. But I'm just not sure he has a defined role just yet in the NFL. So I go with that stud, sideline to sideline linebacker in Devin White. That would be who I would go with if the board falls the way I just described it right there. So Kyler Murray coming in at 5'10" was great for Raider Nation. Not saying that the Raiders need a quarterback. I'm just saying it was great for them because a real deal stud is going to drop to them at number four. And I don't think there's any offensive player out there they need to be looking at number four. I think they need to be looking at a defensive dude, a guy who can get it done. And look, Quinnen Williams might jump up and take that number two spot. The 49ers might say, you know what, we're going to take him. And Bosa drops to number three. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to shake out. But I have a feeling that there's going to be a great player there at number four for the Raiders, and that is a win as far as I'm concerned. DK Metcalf, I'm not even going to talk about him a whole lot. He is an absolute physical phenomena. He is a freak. He is just unbelievable. Big, fast, strong. I get it. But I'm very, very concerned. I'm very, very concerned. I've seen people on Twitter talking about him at number four overall. That is insane. The Raiders need to let that go. If the Raiders are going to draft him, and I'm still questionable, even if he could be that wide receiver, like he could be a super stud wide receiver, I'm still questioning that because I don't think he was the best wide receiver on his squad. And he has injury history. And he's so super big, all I can think of is David Boston. And Raider Nation, you should know David Boston very well, played with the Chargers, and he was that guy who became that big muscle and big bodybuilding guy, and he just lost all his ability. You know, he lost all his coordination. He just was not that good once he got to the league and he bulked up and got huge. And on a side note, and I'm not trying to take a dig at Amari Cooper, but you remember Cooper got to camp every single year and would be a little bit bigger, a little bit bigger, a little bit bigger each and every year because he was trying to ward off those DBs that would try to press cover him at the line. I felt like Cooper was getting a little bit too big. And I don't mean too big like he was a bodybuilder, but I felt like he was just getting a little bit bigger than he needed to get as well, and that's nothing close to what DK Metcalf is. So I'm staying away from him. I think there's a lot of different wide receivers that the Raiders can go after. If you're going to go after DK Metcalf, I'd much rather take him at the end of round one instead of the beginning of round one, but I'm definitely not taking him at number four. I'm not looking at any offensive player. I'm looking at Quinnen Williams, Devin White, or Josh Allen in that order. I don't think Quinnen Williams will be there, but I do think Devin White or Josh Allen will be there. And if I'm the Raiders, I'm running up to the podium. Matter of fact, I might even do a cartwheel going up to the podium to go grab Devin White because I think he is just going to be that super stud sideline-to-sideline linebacker that the Raiders so desperately need. Someone that could be like a Roquan Smith, but he could just be an animal and what you need from that linebacker position. He is an alpha dog out there on the field, and I think it would be great for the Raiders to go snatch that dude up. But again, it's only March 4th. There's a lot of time between now and April 25th when the draft actually hits Nashville. And man, it's going to be an exciting draft. But As far as I'm concerned, coming out of the combine, those are the dudes that really stood out. I mean, they all stood out as studs, but I'm just looking at that number four position because it's so hard to just navigate throughout the first round. There's so many different things that can happen, so many different scenarios that can happen. I do believe the Raiders will grab an offensive guy in round one. I wouldn't be mad at a Josh Jacobs, running back out of Alabama at number 27. I wouldn't be mad at that. I wouldn't be mad at a big-time wide receiver. I also wouldn't be mad at a wide receiver like Keyshawn Johnson. I mentioned it before, out of Fresno State in round three. You know what I mean? There's so many different scenarios that could play out, and the Raiders have 10 draft picks as of right now. That could all change, but they have 10 as of right now, so there's so many different things they could do in between now and the draft, and then obviously while the draft is going on Thursday, April 25th through the end of the weekend, there's so many different things they could do and so much talent they could pick up. That's what makes this draft so stinking exciting, and if they get this thing right, man, the Raiders could be right back on track. If they get this thing wrong, well, it could set them back 4 to 5, maybe 6 years, and that's just being straight up honest. So that's just my thoughts on the combine, just my initial thoughts on the combine, you know, while it's still fresh in my mind. Coming up in segment number two, that wasn't all that came out of the combine. There was a lot of rumors that came out of the combine. AB to the Raiders, Le'Veon Bell to the Raiders, Derek Carr being shopped. Yeah, all that came out. We'll talk about it in segment number two right here on the Locked On Raiders podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are, segment number two of the Locked On Raiders podcast on Monday, March 4th, 2019. Your boy Q here, still talking about the combine. Hey, if you ever want to chime in with me and you don't want to hit up the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, you can always hit me on Twitter, at your boy Q254, again, at your boy Q254. A lot of you have done that, and I definitely appreciate that. My man, Raider Al in Georgia, he's the latest on Twitter that's reached out to me a couple times, showed me a couple pictures of different Raider stuff he has. Man, I'm telling you, you want to talk about a dude that's got Raider rooms, and I say rooms because I refuse to believe that everything he's got is all in just one room. I think he's going to have multiple rooms, but Raider Allen, Georgia, doing it real big. I appreciate you hitting me up on Twitter, my man, and always good to hear from you as well on that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Now, I wanted to talk about some rumors that came out of the combine, and none of them surprised me. All of them, actually, I expected them. And obviously, the first one and the biggest one is Antonio Brown. And multiple outlets are saying that Antonio Brown is a guy that the Raiders are going to go after hot and heavy, a guy that the Raiders really, really are intrigued by. You know, I think there was a report of the Redskins, the Titans, and the Raiders were the top three. And I got a buddy that works in D.C. and at 106.7 The Fan, and he covers the Redskins. Craig Hoffman, matter of fact, he said that the Redskins are not a team that's going after Antonio Brown, so that's just a report. But he said that they have way too many holes and they don't have enough money to go after Antonio Brown. So again, that's just rumors are going to come out of the combine. Rumors are going to always go on, especially this time of year, lion season. Everything that you hear, you can't believe everything because somebody's got an agenda. But the Raiders, the Redskins, and the Titans were the three teams that apparently are hot and heavy after Antonio Brown, as what reports say right now. So who knows what the truth is, but I will say, and that's why we threw the question out on the podcast a long time ago about what you'd be comfortable offering up to the Pittsburgh Steelers for Antonio Brown, because we all know John Gruden is in love with Antonio Brown. And I don't mean in love with him like that. I mean in love with his work ethic and the kind of performance he puts up and the kind of player he is. And again, he's gone back to even comparing him to Jerry Rice. And we all know Jerry Rice is the GOAT. I don't care. There might be a conversation about the GOAT as far as quarterbacks go when you talk Tom Brady and you talk Joe Montana, but there ain't no question about it when you talk about the GOAT and wide receivers is absolutely Jerry Rice. And John Gruden has coached Jerry Rice and said Antonio Brown is that guy. So would he love to get his hands on him? Absolutely. Now the question is, what is he willing to give up for him, and is he really trying to go hot and heavy after him? Well, I think that he probably is. And unfortunately, I've seen reports where it said that the Steelers have come off their stance of what they wanted. Obviously, they wanted a first-round draft pick in return, but he's a 31-year-old wide receiver that's going to command a lot of money, that has 3 years left on his deal, but he also is seeking a bigger contract. And I don't know if you had a chance to see Jeff Darlington's piece from ESPN over the weekend. It was about 8 minutes long on Antonio Brown. I know on Twitter, there's a lot of the piece is floating around. It's about a minute, minute 30 long. That's good stuff, but it's also about 8-something minutes long. And I'll tell you right now, Raider Nation, I've been very vocal on my stance on AB that I do not want him on the Raiders, and I still don't. I still could do without him. But I will say, after watching that 8-minute piece, and look, there's three sides to every story. There's his side, there's the other side, and then there's the truth. So I'm sure that Antonio Brown's side of it lies somewhere in the middle. You know what I mean? Like, it's somewhere in there. It's got a little bit of the truth, maybe a little bit of that's not. But from some of the things he said in that piece about Big Ben and the ownership there in Pittsburgh, I can kind of understand why he's angry. I'm not going to say that I 100% have his back and, oh, Antonio Brown's not as crazy as he sounds or he looks with that god-awful blonde mustache. It's almost one of those things where you can't take him serious because of that. You think that he's about to flip out and do something any minute now. A guy that came from nothing is Antonio Brown. He came from nothing. He came from the projects, Liberty City. I mean, I totally get it. He was a sixth-round draft pick. People doubted him his whole life. He busted his tail off. He worked his tail off to where he's at right now. He said somewhere of the piece, like, we're sitting in my mansion. This thing is paid off. I don't owe nobody no money, so I'm doing things my way. I can't really say that I'm 100% against him on that. Like, I can't say that I don't blame him for that. Again, I don't think he's a guy that the Raiders need. I don't think that he's a guy that is going to put the Raiders over the top and that they're close. Like, they're one wide receiver away from being a championship team. I don't think that at all. But again, from what he was saying, and this is just his side of things, we haven't heard from Big Ben, we haven't heard from Mike Tomlin, I don't really blame Antonio Brown for everything that's been going on in Pittsburgh. I think he has a large role in it. I think that Big Ben has a large role in it. I think Mike Tomlin has a large role in it. But I can understand where Antonio Brown is coming from a dude who's worked his tail off as much as he has and is not really getting the respect that he feels he should be getting. I'll say right now, and obviously our situations are way different, and I'll never see any kind of money that Antonio Brown makes. But I feel like my work ethic is pretty much second to none when it comes to what I do for a living. And sometimes I look at it and say, you know what? I don't even get half the respect that I should be getting. And so that kind of puts me on edge at some time. It gives me a little bit of edge to myself, and I think that's probably why I'm a Raider. That's why I'm a Raider fan, you know what I'm saying? Because we have to live with that kind of edge. And I've kind of always had that edge. So I get where he's coming from. I totally understand where he's coming from. It kind of helped put it in perspective when you heard from him. Again, it was only 8 minutes, and obviously it's edited, so they want to show you. They're going to show you and let you hear what they want you to hear and what they want you to see. But a little bit of it, little piece of me said, you know what? I don't blame him 100%, but still don't think that that kind of salary he's going to demand and also giving up a draft pick is something that the Raiders need to do for Antonio Brown. I just don't think so. But with that being said, I think John Gruden's going to go after him anyway and is going to try to put a nice piece around Derek Carr so nobody could say, well, he doesn't have any weapons around him. And that leads me to Le'Veon Bell. I saw reports that they're hot and heavy after Le'Veon Bell as well. I say hell no to that. There is absolutely no reason for Le'Veon Bell to be an Oakland Raider. Absolutely no reason. He has so much wear and tear on his tires. He does not need to be a part of that team. And he wants $50 million guaranteed in the first 2 years. Now, I know he's not going to get that kind of money. But man, oh man, he's going to be looking for a boatload of money. You heard Joel Corey. He was on the podcast the other day talking about what his agent's going to be trying to do just to try to recoup the money he lost in 2018. I don't want anything to do with that. Antonio Brown, I can see the Raiders going after him and making him a weapon for Derek Carr. I can see them surrounding him with a few weapons just so they could say, hey, this dude's got all the tools around him. Now he's got to go get it done. I think that they go and grab a running back in the draft. I think they already have Chris Warren. Maybe Marshawn Lynch comes back for one more year. But if you get a guy out of the draft and you have Chris Warren and you have Jalen Richard, I think you got a nice 1-2-3 punch right there. I think you got three guys you can rotate. So hell no to Le'Veon Bell as far as I'm concerned. As far as Antonio Brown, I think that they're going to be in the running for him. Let's just put it like that. I don't think that they need him, but I think they're going to be in the running for him. I'm eyeing that number 35 overall pick to the Steelers. I'd much rather give up the third round pick for him, but I think that the Steelers are going to play hardball with the Raiders and try to get that at least that second round pick, which is number 35. Don't give up none of those first round picks. Please don't give up none of those first round picks. But we'll see what happens. Now, there was also a report, and it wasn't very detailed, but it said that the Raiders were shopping Derek Carr at the Combine. And again, this is something that's going to go on. Mike Mayock came out and said Derek Carr is the quarterback. John Gruden came out on Thursday and said Derek Carr is the quarterback. He doubled down on what Mike Mayock said. I believe that they definitely went with that hard stance just so teams will come up to them and say, hey, what would you need? What do we need to give up for Derek Carr? Like maybe a team like the Giants or maybe a team like the Jaguars, maybe a team like the Dolphins, any of those teams that may need a quarterback. And I can see them saying, well, give us a first round pick. Give us two first round picks. I can see them aiming really high and say, well, if you give us this, then yeah, no doubt. We'll move on from Derek Carr. But I don't think it's a case where they're actually shopping him. I don't really buy that. I think that that is one of those, someone in the franchise is floating that out there. Maybe a scout's floating that out there just to get some interest from other teams and think that the Raiders are going to go maybe hot and heavy after a quarterback and make a team want to trade up and go get a quarterback, maybe trade up with them for that number 4 overall pick. I'm not buying it. There just wasn't enough traction. As much as Derek Carr has been talked about, when that report came out, it was just like, oh yeah, the Raiders are shopping Derek Carr. But it wasn't so You know what I mean? It just wasn't a whole lot of it. It just seemed like it was very ho-hum. And yeah, as a matter of fact, that by the way, this is going on. It just didn't seem right. Again, my gut feeling is what I roll with. And my gut feeling tells me that that's not the case. That was not the scenario. And it wasn't really that serious. So I would take that with a grain of salt and realize that it's going to be floated out there. But as far as I'm concerned, I do not think that it's a serious report. So Antonio Brown to the Raiders, or one of the teams that are going after him hot and heavy, yes, I definitely believe that that is true. And if you have not seen that piece by Jeff Darlington, I was going to put it on the podcast, but it's like 8 minutes long, so I didn't want to take up a whole segment with it. It's really good. Just go search Jeff Darlington and AB. You can do it on Twitter, or it's on YouTube, and it's a whole 8 minutes. I encourage you just to go ahead and watch it and take your conclusion from it, because it's really, like I said, in my opinion, it's a really good piece. And again, I kind of understand where AB's coming from just by listening to it. I felt like Big Ben and the ownership really didn't do a guy who's busted his tail and done everything that they've asked him for and then more. They didn't really do him any justice. Again, he doesn't need to be a Raider. I think John Gruden's going to go after him. But yeah, that piece kind of opened up the eyes a little bit to let you know, or at least for me, made me feel like I knew a little bit more of what was going on. And Le'Veon Bell, just stay the hell away from him. All three of those rumors did pop up over the weekend at the Combine. Like I said, they would, because that's just what's going to happen. And look, there's going to be a lot more guys tied to the Raiders between now and the draft and now in free agency. Matter of fact, free agency opens up March 13th. Tampering period, the illegal tampering period, starts March 11th. And oh, by the way, the franchise tag needs to be applied to players that teams are going to try to hold on to or make sure that they hold on to by tomorrow, March 5th. So you'll start to see teams put that franchise tag on their players as well, like DeMarcus Lawrence in Dallas and Jadeveon Clowney in Houston and so on and so forth. So that's all coming down the pipeline as well, so keep your eyes open for that. All right, coming up in segment number three, got calls off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. That's next on the Locked On Raiders podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are, segment number three on today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Going to go to that voicemail line in this episode, get as many calls in as possible. Not all my calls, but going to get a nice little chunk of them. You know what I'm saying? So 707-654-4693. That is the number. We're going to start things off with Zane from South Carolina. He's calling to talk about the Combine, DK Metcalf, talking Lev Bell, and also trading for Antonio Brown. Here's Zane from South Carolina.
Hey, what's going on, Q? I just wanted to call in and talk about draft and Antonio Brown a little bit. So I was watching the Combine, and I think this really wowed everyone, DK Metcalf. And I was open to drafting him at 24, 27 if he gets down there, but a lot of people have been saying DJ Metcalf at 4. Now, the only thing I can think is just no. The dude is a physical freak. He is just amazing, but like his route running leaves something to be desired, you know? Like I looked at this graph that someone had posted. It was like everything was just like top notch, you know? But he could do everything you want him to do unless it's changed direction. And it was like a bit like I forgot what kind of chart it was, but it just showed like all the different drills at the Combine, how well he performed at each of them, and everything was, like, full, and then it was, like, the three-cone and all those kind of drills were, like really, really low. But, again, I'm open to, like, drafting him at 24, 27, but we have to remember the wide receiver class is also pretty deep. So we could get a good wide receiver in the second round. So we have to consider that when we're, you know, thinking about what we want draft in the first round. I also want to talk about AB. So I know I said that I wasn't open to drafting him, but the more I think about it, maybe it wouldn't be such a bad idea, you know? Like, I don't think he's cancerous, like sort of like he won't care like Randy Moss, but like, I don't know, he's old, yes, but he's not a running back, you know? So, the wear and tear on him won't be as bad as it would be on Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell, I'm still a hard no on, but AB, I'm kind of opening up at this point. But I wouldn't give up more than a third. That's my limit, third round pick. If you give up more, I'm not going to be very happy. But a third round, I'll take it. I feel like He's a good wide receiver for Derek Carr and the kind of targets, kind of receivers Derek Carr likes to target. And that's it, Q. Appreciate it.
All right, nice detailed call right there from my man Zane. I always appreciate hearing from you. And another guy I appreciate hearing from, Raider Joe. He's in KC. He's also calling to talk Combine and DK Metcalf and why the Raiders need to stay away from AB. He gives you his pick at number four. Here's Raider Joe in KC.
Hey, yo, Q. Man, I'm sitting here watching the Combine, and this is exactly why we need to stay as far away from Antonio Brown as possible, man. Like, we're good. Like, we're good on him. We don't need him. I mean, the whole draft is just ridiculously deep with wide receivers. And at the top is DK. DK, man, I'm good with taking DK at four. We can do that. We passed up on Calvin Johnson once before. Hey, you know, here's our opportunity to, you know, redeem ourselves, man. We got to take him at four. All right, Raider Joe out.
Raider Joe, I love you like a cousin, but I have to disagree with you 100%. DK Metcalf at number four is all bad, in my opinion. All bad. Do not do that. Do not fall for a banana in the tailpipe. But that's just me, Raider Joe. I appreciate hearing from you. Now, John Train in Atlanta, he's calling in to talk about who he does not want the Raiders to draft. Actually, he has a list of players that he wants the Raiders to stay away from. Really, really good call here. John Train in Atlanta.
What's up, Q? This is John Train calling from ATL. I've been watching the Combine, so I thought I'd call in with my do not draft list, just because a lot of times, it's really not about who you draft, but who you don't draft. That can determine success. So here we go. Number one on my list is Rashawn Gary. The crazy thing is hearing all these draft analysts, you know, they openly admit that Rashawn Gary's production in college is, you know, underwhelming. Yet they still project him in the top 10. It's like they never heard of Vernon Golston or any of the combine heroes that we see every year who simply just aren't good football players. And they always get associated with the Raiders. I mean, how many times do the Raiders have to be associated with the combine stud who just isn't a great football player? And I'm getting tired of that narrative, and I honestly don't know why, you know, it still persists. Actually, when you reach for a Colton Miller and all anyone talks about is his broad jump, yeah, I kind of get it. So hopefully we can get out of those kind of picks. Speaking of combine heroes, DK Metcalf also makes my list of players not to draft. I call him AKA David Boston. He's not even the best wide receiver on his own team. He's got the injury history, lack of production, limited route tree. Adrian Brown, though, can run every route. He put up the big numbers in the SEC, and I'll take his 4.49 over Metcalf's 4.33 or whatever it was. I'll take that 10 times out of 9. You know, I consider the best receiver in football to be DeAndre Hopkins, and he ran a 4.57, I believe. So, you know, all this stuff is just totally overblown. But, yeah, a lot of these guys, man, they get picked, you know, really early on. So, I don't know. Number three on my list is Ja'Kai Polite. I can't imagine Gruden drafting this guy, but even if he falls to the end of the first or the top of the second, I say, stay away from the guy who blew his interviews. He had months to prepare for the biggest interviews of his life, and he showed up fat. And with the attitude, I'll take him totally off my draft board. Number four, Zach Allen, defensive end from Boston College. And I only include him on this list because I just have a feeling that between going to Mike Mayock's alma mater and being perceived as a, you know, a quote-unquote groom and grinder, the chances of the Raiders reaching the draft him are high. So hopefully they saw what I saw at the Senior Bowl, which is a second rounder at best. Number five, Daniel Jones. I know the Raiders might need a backup, you know, depending on AJ McCarron, but this dude is like 8 feet tall and led the nation in batted passes. Enough said. My number six player on the do not draft list is Montez Sweat, and that's really only for the number four pick. Don't be swayed by the combine numbers. He's nowhere near the player of a Quinnen Williams or a Josh Allen. And one of those guys should be there at number four just because Kyler Murray and or Dwayne Haskins, I think, will be drafted in the top three. So do the right thing. You know, Williams or Allen should be there. Take them and keep them moving. So that's my list. That's my do not draft list. And I think if the Raiders just stay put, don't trade, and just draft solid football guys, it'll be a success. You know, unless – you know, hey, look, if Kyler Murray is there at number four, I'm going to trade him I'm going to take him and trade Derek Carr. All right, bro. Peace.
Good stuff, my man. And I'll tell you right now, I agree with just about everyone on your list. I mean, I'm telling you, almost to a T, I was going through that like, yep, yep. Yep, DK Metcalf, I am with you 100%, John Train. I appreciate that. And like I told Raider Joe in the call before, no way. DK Metcalf at number four, I'm not even convinced of him as being a guy, period, that the Raiders should go after just because I'm not sure what his skill set is going to be. I love the fact you brought up David Boston. That's somebody I talked about in segment number one, and that's all I thought about all weekend long every time I heard the name DK Metcalf and saw pictures of him and everything he was doing out there. So great call, my man. Definitely appreciate that. Now, Akeem in Oakland, he actually called on Thursday afternoon. He's calling to talk and respond to Selena in the OC, her call from earlier in the week. Gives a little history behind his fandom as far as his age and who he's seen play as a Raider. So here's Akeem in Oakland.
What's up, Locked On Fighters? I came out of Oakland. I called earlier and I said that I've been enjoying the calls every single day. Like, everything's been great. It's fantastic. The offseason's been great. I look forward to these calls every day. But I wanted to respond back to Selena in the OC. Selena, I'm 27. My birthday just passed. So I haven't really seen much great quarterback play. So Derek Carr may be the best quarterback that I've seen. But with that being said, I could also say that no disrespect. We got Charles Woodson. Charles Woodson may have been the best safety. But outside of Charles Woodson, what do I say? Michael Huff was the best safety I've seen. That's not saying much at all. Like I said a few months ago, us sticking with Derek Carr is fear-based. We're scared. We're scared of, oh my God, we give up on Carr. We want, yes, but we take what we see at face value. 5 years, we went 4-12. I called earlier and I was talking about how you killed Michael Crabtree in the first segment of Tuesday's call. He said, he's got falls off since 2016. I have no idea why we don't keep that same energy for Derek Carr. We find that, like I was saying, Crabtree, he was going to have terrible numbers. And, yeah, so on and so forth. But for whatever reason, we keep, Derek Carr has this many completions. Of course, he checks down the running backs. Of course. John Ross would be a great addition, but Derek Carr doesn't throw the ball down the field. Like, that's why he throws the ball away on fourth down. I say all that to say, Derek Carr did have a great game last year against the Steelers. I was at that game. Before Ben Roethlisberger went out, Derek Carr was playing okay. Then once I have no idea as to why, didn't bring Roethlisberger back in. Derek Carr was able to rally and he came back. He played a good game. So, do we allow our fear of not finding franchise quarterback? Because at this point, Derek Carr isn't a franchise quarterback. I heard Mike Mayock today. He's an average quarterback. That's why he went 4-12. 4-12. Franchise quarterbacks aren't going 4-12 in their fifth year. We could put as much makeup on a pig as we want to still a pig. Oh, my goodness. I sound really. But, like, seriously, we can say he had all these completions and yards. Be sure that you sandwich that with 4-12 before your statement and 4-12 after. I haven't been to work, and the other day I woke up to a gif of a four horsemen. I was like, what the hell is this? And my coworker sent it to me, and I listened to the pod, and I hurt myself laughing. Funniest analogy ever. I wrote down notes, and I haven't referenced my notes at all. Hey, that's pretty much all I got. Go Raiders.
Good stuff right there, my man. I definitely appreciate that. And sorry for the dated call, but I'm definitely trying to catch up on the ones that I missed on. So I got a couple more that are a little bit dated. Big H Raider in the 916, Sacktown. He's calling on Wednesday evening. Brings up some really good points about Michael Crabtree. He also brings up John Ross and what he thinks about reaching out to the Bengals to try to acquire him. Big H Raider, he's in the 916.
What's up, Q? This is Big H Raider. Love your show, brother. Keep up the good work. I just wanted to chime in on the whole Crabtree thing. I'm totally with you, man. So I hate to say it, man, but some of these Raider fans are delusional, and I'm a diehard Raider, man. But, dude, Gruden got rid of this dude. What makes the Raider fans think that he's going to bring him back? You know, he's kind of diva-like. Yeah, he had a lot of, you know, he had that one good year with Carr and the Raiders in 2016, but, I mean, Gruden got rid of him for a reason, man. The dude's got an attitude, diva-like, you know, Gruden just wasn't going to put up with that nonsense. They got rid of him. I mean, I don't understand why people think he's all of a sudden going to bring him back. So, anyway, I just want to put my 2 cents in on that. And then as far as the John Ross thing, the dude can fly, man, but I don't know. He just doesn't have the production for me, you know. So I don't know if I'm willing to give up a late-round pick for him. You know, I just, you know, I'm not an expert, so obviously I wouldn't know, but I just don't think – I think you can use that pick and try and develop somebody else. As far as I'm concerned, John Ross has kind of reached his potential. But, you know, like I said, I don't know. I'm not an expert, man. I just want to give my 2 cents. And anyway, brother, again, thanks for the show, man. Great job. Gives us Raider fans, you know, some something to do during the offseason, man. That's for sure. You can definitely get my fix that way because offseason's tough, man. You know, I don't listen to a lot of – I don't watch a lot of sports, man, other than football, dude. So when it's off season, it's a little rough for me, man. But good looking out. All right, buddy. Have a good one. See ya.
All right, good stuff right there, Big H. Definitely appreciate you. Again, that was Big H Raider in the 916. And closing today's show off with Central Valley Raider. He called last week to talk about a few different subjects, including Derek Carr, John Ross, wide receivers, tight ends, running backs in the draft. He also talks about veterans and the fact that, well, John Gruden really embraces the veteran players. Here's Central Valley Raider 559.
What's going on, Q? This is Central Valley Raider. I haven't called into your podcast for a minute, but I'm still listening every day, man. Hey, just a few things before I really get started. You know, I've been hearing a lot of this talk about Derek Carr, quarterback. We're going to give him only till 2019. I mean, in reality, are we all good? I mean, all these comments, negative, positive comparisons, is it really going to matter? We don't control that. Secondly, he is our quarterback now. He is part of the team. You know, again, we're expecting so much out of him. I know, and I was frustrated beyond belief sometimes, just like a lot of our fellow Raider Nation brothers and sisters. Check downs, 4th and 7, you know, throwaways. Oh yeah, drive me crazy. But did we forget that we do a lot of those routes? We do run a West Coast offense. West Coast offense is running backs out of the backfield, short passes, crisscross patterns, things like that. It isn't your 9 routes, your streaks down. Now, can they implement those? Yeah. Have they done it? Yeah. But, you know, Derek Carr is still learning that offense, and he is trying to be a perfectionist. Okay? I think the evidence is out there towards the end of the year. He started to realize that, you know, stop trying so hard and just play, man. Okay? So, let's put that to a wrap. Secondly, I know you were talking about wide receivers, and you were talking about making a comment about Ross. Dude's garbage. We have a Johnny Holton, and what's he get us? 1 catch, maybe 2 a game, if that? That's what Ross is. He's a Johnny Holton. We don't need that, man. We need precise route runners. Precise route runners for this West Coast offense. That's all, man. That's all we need. Obviously, I'm talking about strictly offense on this call. We need precise route runners. Running backs, same thing. Catch you out of the backfield. Tight ends, run double tight. If we lose, I just blanked out. Of our tight end, Jared Cook. If we lose him, we might have to get a top tight end. And then look in the later rounds to get another one to supplement him. 2 good blocking, catching tight ends. I know there's 2 or 3 that are supposed to go in the 1st, 2nd round. We just need to give Derek Carr weapons. That's it. You're starting to see a lot of teams cut their defensive players, and there are a lot of veterans. And if you're familiar with John Gruden loves his veterans. Captain Munnerlin, I believe that's his last name, cornerback from Carolina Panthers, was just recently released. There's going to be some other defensive players. Don't be surprised if we go defensively in the draft. I mean, free agency, and we do a lot of offense. I'm thinking when they trade back and pick up some picks, man. You know, maybe even get rid of one of those first rounders. Pick up a couple seconds this year and next year. It's the long haul. We ain't gonna fix it 1 year. There's no way. There's no way. Okay, an 8-8 season would be a great season. Did you hear me here? An 8-8 season would be a great season. I ain't smoking. I'm not tripping. That's the reality. I don't want to start talking about the 12-4 seasons. I don't want to start talking about the 13-3s. We're going to make the playoffs. Man, let's just get the ball rolling and get some good defense players through free agency. I'm not talking about spending no big money on no Lawrence. These got to be smart and strategic. I believe I'm all in and I'm out. Central Valley Raider, 559.
Good stuff right there, my man. I appreciate that. Good call. And I'm okay with staying away from John Ross. It's something I threw out there just because he's a guy that can stretch the field. And who knows, maybe he needs a change of scenery. I don't know. But a good call, good detail called right there. Really appreciate that. That was a great way to end today's show. So Central Valley Raider, Big H Raider in the 916, Akeem in Oakland, John Train in Atlanta, Raider Joe and KC, and Zane from South Carolina. Appreciate all your calls. Coming up this week, man, throughout the week, I got a couple different people I'm trying to line up to talk about some prospects, talk about the combine, talk about things Raider Nation should do, talk about Derek Carr. There's a lot of different people I've reached out to. I got more calls up the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line that I got to get to. We should have a real fun, exciting week of podcasts on the Locked On Raider podcast. I appreciate you. I apologize again for not having any Friday episode, but hey, it's a new week now, and so until Tuesday's episode, as always, Raider Nation, just win, baby.